Sanctum.
This is
Beyond
the Looking Glass.
Hello and welcome to another episode of
Beyond the Looking Glass.
My name is Anthony, and as always, to my right is Bim.
The Bim.
Bimberly.
Bim Salabim is here.
And we apologize for the huge delay between the first episode and this one. We actually did record a second episode where we got pretty deep into Manson, although it sounded like we recorded it inside of an air conditioner unit.
And a trash can at the same time.
And depression and sadness and everything terrible was pretty much came to be in that recording. Yeah. So I immediately took it down. And for the 7 to 10 of you that listened, thank you.
Thank you so much for going through the technical difficulties we were experiencing. But we're going to make it better for you.
Yeah,
you're
a trooper. We appreciate it. But you really didn't have to.
You didn't have to at all.
All right, so we're going to get into Manson today. We're going to take a look at as much of his life as possible with the time restraint that we have.
Yeah, which is it's actually not that big of a restraint, but no. We'll get into it and we'll see how ridiculous he was.
Yeah, absolutely.
The little bedwetter.
Aww. That little bedwetter. So he's probably the cult phenomenon. Like, anytime somebody thinks serial killer, Manson comes to mind nearly immediately, probably ahead of, like, the more sadistic killers, like your Geens, your Dahmers, everybody like that. Manson comes to mind first.
That's because he's so iconic. He was really iconic.
Yeah, what makes Manson more iconic than the other more brutal killers?
I would say his victims, first of all, and then him having his own little doomsday cult crap.
Yeah, I guess his victims, LaBianca, is obviously Sharon Tate, and Sharon Tate's probably the one that people will mention, saying because she was a starlet and everything like that, but was she? Was she a starlet?
I mean, I guess she... Not really. She wasn't really a starlet until after he killed... Or not he, but
yeah.
After she was killed.
Yeah, I mean, she was definitely, I guess, up and coming. I don't think she was going to be famous.
Never, ever. She was like a painter or something. She became iconic after her death, not during the actual production of her work.
Yeah, more people probably would know her husband, Polanski, more than they would have known Sharon.
Yeah. They would, because he was a director at the time, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, he still is a director. I mean, he kind of brought on his, eventually brought on his own image, reputation, I guess, as a womanizer and abuser later in life. But it's at that time, I mean, Sharon Tate was attracted to that type, and that's why she was with Polanski and then inevitably met her doom when they decided to kill her because they happened to live in that house. But we are obviously getting ahead of ourselves. So, in my opinion, Manson kind of became iconic, like Bim was saying, due to his following and due to the image that he projected, or people assumed he was projecting, more so than the 7 victims that he had. 7?
It was more than that. But the 7 victims from the LaBianca Tate murders, yeah.
Yeah.
But there were more than that. But yeah, those were the ones that he was like super culty famous for.
Yeah, so I guess let's take a look into how he became to be, how this little bastard child, no name, became Charles Manson. So as a child, when he was born, he was just kind of born into a bad situation. He was fucked from the get go. He's no name Maddox.
No name Maddox, born to a 16-year-old, didn't have a husband, didn't have a. Did she have a? She, I don't think she had a job at that time, did she?
No, she. Her job was to be in high school.
Are you sure?
I guess.
This was what? This was the 60s, right?
No, this was before the 60s. This would have been like the 30s.
Was it? He was born in the 30s.
No, let's.
He was 1934.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So she would have been 15 at the time of inception. If we kind of put that into perspective, and the father was in his 20s. So
it's creepy.
Yeah. So we got a little creepy uncle. So basically the way this all kind of rolled out is, mom was, living in an oppressive home, uber religious, parents, well, let's say uber religious mom and extremely passive dad. So mom kind of ran the ship. I kind of said, like, everybody needs to say their prayers and eat their vitamins and all that Hulk Hogan bullshit. And I'm,
eat your Wheaties, boy.
Eat your Wheaties. Eat your Wheaties and say your prayers. Get on your knees, boy.
Oh, God.
No, wait. That's Catholicism. That's different. That's later.
That's later.
Foreshadowing. Dun, dun, dun. All right. So so mom was born into this hyper-oppressive house that if you didn't follow the Ten Commandments to the T and basically follow the Bible to the letter, blah, blah, blah. So anytime you have that kind of setup, you're going to create a rebellion. So mom, being 15 years old, ran away from home, shacked up with some 20-something-year-old dude that squirted a baby in her. As soon as he heard that there was going to be a child, he hit the bricks and ran off. And then while still pregnant, she ended up meeting the man that would have given Manson his name, Manson. So another creepy dude.
Just another one.
Saying, yeah. Oh, pregnant 16-year-old.
Not the colonel. The other one was the colonel. The way that he left was great because his name was actually Colonel.
No, his name wasn't actually Colonel.
No, it was. His name was Colonel.
His nickname was Colonel.
Was it?
That was basically he gave himself a nickname.
Well, he made her think that he was an army colonel. That's why he left. Yeah. He was called away for army business. He fucking vanished.
I need to go to the army business factory.
Yeah.
Yeah, so wasn't it like Colonel Walker, Texas Ranger Smith?
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Scott Sr.
Yeah, something like that. Like, everybody in this situation has at least 12 names.
It's ridiculous.
It is absolutely. Like, mom was like Kimberly Maddox Manson squared to the fourth power. So Colonel tells mom, I got to go to the business factory at the army store and in splits. And then the next guy comes in and says, well, I love me some pregnant preteen or pregnant teenager. Mm-mm. And so he was like, what, a laundromat guy? Like, he cleaned people's clothes or some shit?
Quote unquote laborer.
Yeah, he was a day laborer at a laundromat.
I collect the coins.
I take the coins out of the washers and dryers. I got the key there.
God, that's such an awful job.
So he steps in and takes No Name Maddox and names him Charles Manson. And they go on and do not live happily ever after by any means.
No.
So this daddy works his ass off, tries to pay the bills and to support his teenage wife and illegitimate child. And she decides that mom decides that she's just going to go get fucked up drunk and run around town. And just whoever has open arms, she's going to run to him. So he leaves, quoting, like, gross neglect of responsibility or something to that effect.
Yeah, gross neglect of duty.
Yeah, gross neglect of duty.
Aunt duty.
So Manson bounces around family member to family member. We're not going to get too deep into this part. I just got a couple of highlights or lowlights.
Lowlights.
That I want to get into for this. So basically, Charles was raised by everybody except mom.
Yeah. He had babysitters galore, his aunts, his uncles, his grandparents. The grandparents were probably the worst.
Grandparents probably were the worst to him because they provided structure.
Repressive bullshit.
Yeah, I mean,
in his mind,
probably very repressive structure in reality. But that if he would have just stayed with grandma, grandpa, we may not have had the Manson as we know it. Because actually, as we'll see, they were kind of creating a human sized vagina. He was becoming like a wimp, a 4'1" wimp.
Yeah, a 4'1" little tiny wimp of a person.
Yeah, essentially. So mom just wanted little to nothing to do with him. There's actually a story where she attempts to get a pitcher of beer. Attempts isn't the word.
She did.
She successfully trades Charlie Manson for a pitcher of beer. So she was at some, I assume, bar restaurant, something to that effect. Some waitress goes, "Oh, what a cute little baby!
You want it?
Can I have him? Can I have him?
Can I get a pitcher of Rolling Rock?
Yeah.
Great. You can keep him.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. So so this lady takes Manson away, and nobody looks for him for days at a time. Eventually, one of the uncles says, "Where the fuck is my nephew?"
Wait, didn't I have a nephew?
Yeah, didn't you have a child like 2 years ago?
What happened to it? I sold it for beer.
For was
what
it,
kind of accent would they have? I don't.
The dumbest one.
Which one is
the one?
The dumbest one.
The one with the least teeth and the lowest IQ. That's the one.
Ohio? I don't even know.
You know, he was born in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So they moved around a lot from city to city, state to state, but their headquarters, essentially, like where everybody was from, was Cincy.
Their headquarters.
I guess. I guess the headquarters would have been Spawn
Ranch.
This
was like the creation of the fuckboy nation, Cincinnati, Ohio.
I guess Manson would be
a fuckboy.
He would have been the elite fuckboy.
He is the fuckboy.
So if Manson was born in, let's say if Manson was born in like 1998, he would have been like with, you know, those jogging pants that are like too tight at the bottom, like the skinny jean, like yeah. The, like jogging pants.
Good old snapbacks. And yeah. A graphic tee.
I wear snapbacks and graphic tees.
Yep.
Jeans with too many rips in them that you pay $30. Like, oh, fuck, I wear those.
Yeah, you do.
Am I a fuckboy?
I don't know. That's for a later episode.
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
No! Let's not go that far.
All right, so yeah, so Manson was sold for beer. Uncle decides to inevitably track him down. And I guess everybody except for Mom had their good intention.
Did they, though?
For the most part,
I mean, it was just kind of, they were just thrown in the situation, like, I'll do the best I can.
Yeah.
I don't say that as good intention. It's just like, fuck it, I have
to. At least they were doing the best they could. Mom was doing the least she could.
Oh, come on.
And you know how people say, like, that's the least I can do? Like, she took that shit to heart. She did the absolute least she could do.
But yeah.
Yeah. Like, to the point where, flash forward a little bit, she goes to court and says, I can't take care of my kid. Can somebody foster him?
Like, who? Someone please take this child.
Who does that on purpose? I thought, isn't foster care like something that happens to you? Like, not something that you go and find?
It happens naturally, not forcibly. Take it. Take it now. Jesus Christ.
So because Manson spent a lot of time at grandma and grandpa's and like listened to the word of the Lord and all that good shit, Manson started like to become basically a little wimp, like wanted to kind of abide by everything, make everybody happy, blah, blah, blah. So he ends up with one of these uncles who is like the man. Like, he wants men to be tough and gritty and whatever. And so since Manson was such a vagina at this time, he decides to dress him like one, puts him in some kind of girl clothes, sends him off to school. And I mean, Manson, as a grown adult, admitted that he was about 5'5" if he was cheating.
Cheating.
So basically, if he had the heeled boots and he was
platform shoes,
yeah. Like standing really tall on his tippy toes, he was 5'5". But in reality, when he's actually measured, he was 5'2".
So he was always just a child.
Yeah, he was a sapling. So Manson's this like little kid that gets sent to school. He's probably at this point 4 foot nothing, if that. He gets sent to school and gets the ever living fuck just beat out of him. So the entire point of this for the uncle was to toughen him up, to teach him some tough love, and he got it.
It went over so well.
It did exactly what the uncle wanted to do. Manson got the ever-living shit beat out of him at school, comes back home and decides, you know what? I'm going to be a tough vagina now. I'm going to go to school and beat the shit out of everybody. So this is kind of where he learns that he needs, since he's little, he has like the Napoleon complex. He needs to act tougher than he actually is and swing for the fences or the mouth.
Anything that's within reach. I mean, if he's 4 foot two at this point, yeah. I think he's going straight for the gonads.
Oh yeah. He's winding up and just kicking a field goal.
Coming for your Lieutenant Dangles.
Your Lieutenant Dangles. Oh my gosh. And then there was the other uncle that wanted to teach him a life lesson. So like every good serial killer does, Manson wanted to whoop on some animals.
Of course he does.
Yeah, because that's just you know, the nature of things.
Sign one.
Yeah.
Animal abuse.
Yeah, I think it's animal abuse, drinking black coffee and wetting the bed. I think that's the...
He had two.
Yeah.
Did he drink black coffee?
I don't know.
That should have been recorded. I drink black coffee, though.
I do from time to time, and I enjoy IPAs, and I have three first names. Those are some...
I only drink black coffee.
So Batson decides to whoop the shit out of one of his uncle's dogs, and his uncle goes up to him and goes, "Hey, boy. Hey, look at me, boy. That dog do anything to you?"
No.
"Oh, get over here."
Uh-oh.
And just licked him. With a belt.
He licked him with a belt. Not his mouth.
No, not his
the
tongue.
The leathery tongue of doom.
He didn't get a tongue lashing, got a belt lashing.
Mm.
Just beat the shit out of him, so Manson learns to kind of respect him, I guess.
I guess
that's how Manson
fear
learned
him.
Respect.
We'll go with fear.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I guess we'll go with
fearful
with
respect.
Fear. So, I mean, these are the people that were in Manson's life. We had mom that sold him for beer, grandma that just oppressed the shit out of him, grandpa that just kind of ran with it, and uncles that either set him up to get his ass whooped or whoop his ass himself. So I guess that's kind of like the
gist of his childhood.
Yeah, the gist
really
of his
childhood.
He didn't
really have, like, a very positive childhood.
No.
I don't think he learned anything. I just think he learned how to deal with it, and that's all he learned.
Well, what he learned is the people in power, the people around him, like the authority figures, were just there to kind of hold him back and hold him down. That's pretty much what he learns.
Mm.
So let's go back to mom. Mm,
so alcoholic mom.
Yeah. So mom is drunk somewhere.
24/7 doesn't matter where she's at. She's drunk.
And mom at this point is what? 19. Like, mom's in her 20s. I guess we'll flash forward a little bit. So mom decides that she just can't handle Manson anymore because one of her boyfriends says, "Oh, Kimberly, I love you, but I can't stand your fucking son." So she goes, "All right, we can get rid of him." Because I assume that's how they talk.
That totally sounds like Ohio.
It's South Ohio.
We know how you are with accents. It's okay.
So that's as dumb as I think. Like they sound as dumb as I think they sound. That's I can't be told otherwise.
Trailer Park. That's the accent you're going for.
Yes.
Trailer Park.
Yes. They sound like they just smoked meth recently, and are currently looking for more. That's their accent.
Mm. Methamphetamines.
Methy. It's pretty methy in here.
It's pretty methy in here. I'm talking about my never mind. It's fucked up. It's so all methy.
Right. All right, so boyfriend wants to get rid of Manson. Mom obliges, takes Manson to a court and tells the judge she can't afford him, basically. I can't afford to pay my kid bill, is kind of the gist of it. So no foster home measured up. They had standards here for the foster home, but not for how their kid was raised, which that kind of threw me off a little bit. So no foster home fit the bill, couldn't find anybody. So I said, well, we're going to send them to boarding school. And this is where it gets bad.
Good old Gibble, right? Gibble.
Yeah. First one would have been Gibble.
Gibble school for boys.
So it, in the boarding school, he basically it becomes confirmed that everybody's out to get him. I think this is the boarding schools are the true turning point in his life, because at this point everybody can have a bad childhood story and turn out fine.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
A little emotionally damaged, but
sure.
Not kill a whole bunch of fucking people damaged.
Yeah. A little bit of baggage, but yeah. No bodies in the crawl space.
Oh,
skeletons
no.
In the closet.
No bodies.
But no bodies in the backyard. I mean, it's that like that. Most people will just be a little bit damaged, a little bit non-trusting, a little bit hesitant to get into something, whatever, which is fine. So everybody has a story, and Manson definitely has his, and we can't feel bad for him because we kind of we got to keep it in perspective.
We know how it ends.
We know the end of this story.
Yeah.
So Manson gets sent to Gibble, which was run by a bunch of Catholic priests. And we all know how Catholic priests love them little boys.
Mm, tittle.
They love them young. They love them nimble.
Love them nimble. You got a quick tongue.
Jack be nimble. Jack be quick. Jack come jump on daddy's dick. I think, isn't that where that came from? Is that how it goes?
I think that's how it goes.
Oh, okay.
I think it's jump on the priest's dick.
Yeah, jump on daddy. jump.
Oh, was
jump
it daddy?
On, yeah, jump on dad. Oh, father. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
father.
Fathers.
Jump on fathers. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. What the fuck? We do not endorse the touching of little boys.
Or the Catholic priests that do this.
Yeah, we do not endorse Catholic priests.
Or Catholicism.
Or Catholicism. Yeah. No, no. Let's move on. All right, so he goes off to boarding school. So inevitably, Manson says, this place sucks. Because at here, as far as what he says, he did not get touched himself, but he did witness it.
Yeah, this is where he witnessed his first rapage of young boys. This is where I think he develops his absurd hate for anything that's in power.
Yeah, his complete cynicism for anybody in an authoritarian position.
Mm-hmm.
So he witnesses a bunch of priests touching boys, which begs the question is, how openly were they touching these kids? Was this happening like in the school halls? Was this like, all right, first bell, everybody line up.
I think it was the line up method.
Yeah.
That's how it was. There was just a room. There were like a little factory of Catholic priests just poking little boys where they shouldn't.
So it's like the classroom one math, classroom two history. Classroom three was the
sodomy.
Yeah. It was sodomy 101.
The art of sodomy.
I guess everybody needs their art. That's not one I will subscribe to.
Yeah, it's better than class four. Class four was oral.
Is it better?
I would say that it's better.
Why would you? This is not a good argument. There's no winning in this argument.
Why?
So how is oral better than sodomy?
Well, in sodomy, you're getting something shoved up your ass, which is a lot of. I would assume very painful if it's not, you know,
uncomfortable.
I would say it's really uncomfortable for a small child and a grown adult.
And everybody, there's no, you cannot back out of this corner. There's no good argument.
But with oral, you can bite their dick off. That's why it's better.
You can
semi-fight back.
Well, you can crawl away. On the former, you're already in crawling position. Just crawl away.
Okay, so let's test this out. Okay. The next time,
let's not.
Okay.
we got to keep this in check a little bit. All right. So here he witnesses all this tragic nonsense that we're talking about, but does not partook in.
He doesn't get taken. His little butt virginity is still intact.
So he decides, well, this place sucks. So I'm going to run away and go back to mom. So he runs away, tries to find mom, finds her, thinks that she's going to welcome him back with open arms.
Nope.
No.
Tapes him right back.
Throws him right into the trunk of the car and drives. That's speculation. Throws him right back into the car.
That's speculation.
And drives him right back up. And so this is kind of where he snaps a little bit, where he's like, wow, fuck everybody. Not even my mom can be trusted. She throws me into the car. And this is after, obviously, he gets caught with a weapon.
Yes, he was. He spent Christmas with his aunt and uncles in McMichin? Mecken?
Some shit. Them.
This is where he got caught stealing a gun, though.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, and that wasn't his first run-in with the police because he was a little bit older.
This is before his first offense. This is he steals the gun.
We didn't. And
then this is when he gets brought back to Gilbolt because they do this over Christmas. I think it was Christmas.
Yeah,
well, they it do was this. Christmas. They send him back, and then he gets out. And this is after he runs away the second time.
Yeah, but we skipped his very first run-in with the police when he was seven.
Oh, we did skip that.
Yeah, we skipped that. So I guess let's go in the rewind machine. So when Manson was 7 years old, we can all just kind of guess he did not have great Christmases.
Mm-mm.
No, he wasn't getting the whatever people had in the 30s, 40s, whatever toys, trinkets. I think everything was made out of rusty tin. During this time,
was it wood?
Yeah, it's like wood. Like you got like splinters. Like
I whittled this myself.
Corn cob dolls. Like he didn't get. He didn't get the cork pipe. He didn't get any of this.
Mm.
He got like socks and like wool long johns or some shit.
I do enjoy getting socks though.
I don't wear socks.
I always put holes in the ends of my socks. I do in the winter. I can't wear my Chacos in the winter.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't wear Chacos either.
Well, that's unfortunately. We should get you some.
I do not want any.
You're going to get some.
Nope.
Okay.
All right. So Manson decides he's pissed off that everybody in his neighborhood is getting all the cool toys, like those rusty metal robots that have the key in the back and you twist it and it walks for 3 feet, or the baby dolls that sit up and blink, or whatever people had back then. So he was all mad that everyone else got them. So he took presumably a large burlap sack and collected all the toys in the neighborhood and just set them on fire.
He was the true Grinch.
He was the first Grinch. He basically it's unverified, but I'm pretty sure that's where Dr. Seuss got the character.
It had to be.
Yeah,
it had to be.
I mean, Grinch even has a full beard and full head of hair. So I mean,
that's true. He does.
Yeah. So it basically just kind of colored in the rest. So Manson burned all the toys. The cops came and were like, "Don't do that." And he was like,
"That's bad."
He's like, "Don't do that, okay? That's bad, okay?
Okay."
Don't kill people, okay?
He didn't listen to that. He didn't. I changed my mind. No. Change it again.
Flip all right. Flop. So, all right. So let's fast forward back to. the schools. So he runs away. Mom takes him back. He goes like, meh. So he runs away again. I think this is when he went to Indianapolis.
Yep. Right. This is when he ran to Indianapolis.
Yeah, and got caught within 6 days. Or a few days or something like that. Or was it hours? I don't know. He had quite a few runaway attempts. Some of them lasted hours. Some of them lasted days.
This is the one where he went to, where he got out with the other guy. And then.
With the guy's uncle?
Nielsen. Nielsen's uncle.
Yeah. So this is where he gets introduced. Because he was always stealing and stuff like that up until this point. Always committing crimes. But he was doing it out of necessity. I think this is where he learns it could actually be lucrative.
Yeah.
So he runs away and lives with his uncle, this kid's uncle, that basically they became his protege and said, all right, we're going to case some places. We're going to steal some shit. We're going to steal some groceries. We're basically going to make money because this guy was a career criminal. He was paying his rent by crime.
Yeah, professional thief kind of guy.
Yeah.
So, they sucked, though.
Well, they did because they were children.
Were they at this point?
Yeah. I mean, they were still, less than 18 years old at this point.
So they were teens, children. Teens. I mean,
they're still young. They're still very young.
Call a teen a child and see what happens.
I will. And they'll go, yeah, like a fucking child.
One that's larger than you.
There are several. And they'll still go, no, I'm a grown up.
No, you've obviously not encountered fuck boys.
Okay. Yo, I'm a grown up.
Like, the fuck you say?
The fuck you say? I'm a grown ass man. Ugh. Look at my Adidas.
Shitheads are ruining my video games too. I hate them so much.
I'm completely out of touch with kids these days. I'm not even 27 yet, and I already feel like an old man, like a cringy old man. Like, get off my lawn! Stop saying lit.
That's me to the T. I even have back pain when I wake up. I gotta drink my coffee and take an ibuprofen or something.
Like I still don't understand like today's I sound like such an old man.
Back in my day,
like today's slang, like that's lit, fam, bro. Like I guess they don't say bro anymore. Like that's lit, fam.
I don't get that either.
I don't know. Well, whatever. So back in Manson's days, it was like, I'll suck your dick, fam, because everyone was a slut because it was a hippie time. So Manson kind of like learns how to survive by stealing at this point. Not survive, thrive, I guess would be a better terminology. Like how to actually make profit, make money, not just steal to eat, because that's what he was doing up until this point, but steal to live. So inevitably, they get caught.
2 weeks later.
Yeah. So
they learned for 2 weeks.
They had a good run.
2 weeks.
So Manson gets sent back to boarding school, and he was not having a good time.
No, this is IBS.
Yeah.
IBS so, time.
So Manson already, like, before we even get to anything else, he was already singled out because at this, he was still wetting the bed.
Yeah.
He was beating the animal earlier. Now he's still wetting the bed as a teenager.
As a teenager. So I'm pretty sure he did it up until he was like 22.
Probably. He was definitely getting singled out. And so he was getting picked on or whatever. And then inevitably getting raped. So at IBS, they were strict.
It was a very strict reform school.
It was militaristic.
Yeah.
It's every stretch of the word.
Like Pretty sure this is where his psyche broke.
Yeah, this is where he broke, and this is where he developed the insanity.
Oh, the insane game?
Yeah, the insane game, the insane defense, where he would just act as crazy as humanly possible to, like, fend off his...
It was like
rapist.
Like an injured bird just squawking and flailing all over the place.
Like I just picture him just grabbing his own feces out of his ass and like smearing it on the wall and throwing it at people. Like he was going as crazy as possible to fend everybody off. And I mean, it worked kind of. To get broken into this place, and or if you get in trouble, they had a thing where you either had to run full speed into the... I guess you would call him a teacher, drill sergeant.
The instructor?
Instructor, sure, whatever.
I don't know.
You just have to run full speed into his fist. If he feels that you didn't run fast enough, you had to do it again.
You didn't learn a lesson. Again. Do it again.
Yeah. And if you broke your jaw, broke your orbital, like got injured, it was just like, go to the nurse, tell her you fell.
Yeah, ran into my hand.
You fell full speed into my fist. Like, so basically it just created like a battered wife syndrome. Just like you had to go and lie and say, I fell down the stairs and got hit by the doorknob, like, or whatever battered women say. And if you are a battered woman, get help.
You think it really mattered? I'm pretty sure that like the medical staff knew what was happening.
Oh, absolutely. But they didn't want it on record because
they probably just took it for what it was worth and then wrote something else down.
Yeah, and inevitably, because this school somehow survived and got government funding and is still in operation to this day.
Well, it probably worked for other people, just not this one.
Yeah, it probably did work and broke the shit out of people by abuse. Like, so not only did they have that game, they also had the other one where you had a run, like your peers would line up basically in twos, like kind of across from each other, and you had to run in like in between them and get the shit beat out of you. Like through the whole line. Like there would be like six kids like facing each other two by two, and you just had to run in between them and just got the living fuck beat out of you.
Yeah, that's like how stoning works.
Pretty much.
That's what it was.
Yeah, except it's a lot less fun. Oh, wait, that's not what you mean.
not that kind of stoning. People throw rocks at you.
Yeah, so it basically just you get the ever-living fuck beat out of you by your peers, and the peers aren't going to hold back because if they did, they were the next one that had to go into the line and run through it. So they just went full force and just whomped on you until this instructor went, yeah, you learned your lesson.
It's all in good fun.
And so the same instructor that was basically building all this punishment noticed one day Manson may have been raped. And instead of pulling him aside, being a good drill sergeant and going, nobody needs to touch your booty hole, boy. No, he didn't. Said, they fucking you? Good. And just like grabbed some mud, threw it in his ass crack and looked at his favorite boys and went, got him lubed up for you and spit tobacco at him. Like that basically just completely said, go for it.
The best redneck encouragement you could ever get. I got him ready for you, boys.
So Manson gets raped over and over again, and at the blessing of this school, and I guess that's why they call it IBS. I would have irritable bowels too.
My bowels been tickled too many times.
Just by like mud water, tobacco, and like just.
I could imagine having tobacco in my ass.
I've
swallowed it when I used to dip.
I can't imagine having a dick in my
not
ass.
Not okay.
Like, I can't imagine any of this. Like, this is all bad.
This is all not okay.
There's none of this that's like, oh, at least they had fun. Like,
at no point was there fun to be had.
Nah, and Manson, he did get him back. Yeah, anybody that he identified as a punk, he would fuck him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he turned into the rapist.
Absolutely. And basically, to be defined as a punk, it's anybody that like tattletales, anybody that looks at you wrong, anybody that's identified as a wimp. And since Manson was 5 foot nothing, he had to insert his dominance into their ass.
Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, so he would just, you'd start raping punks, and yeah, so then eventually he tries to escape again and ends up getting, like, taken back. I think there was one point where he tried to, like, jump into a river or something like that. And, like, there was, like, the people on one side, and then they went over to the other side of the river, and he was just, like, stuck in the middle. So it's, like, one of those, like, old-timey, just like, oh, shucks, you got me.
Why not just float?
I don't know. He was a bad at running away. Like,
yeah. He, I mean, he eventually gets away every time. It's just... He was determined.
He gets caught, though.
He was determined.
And what's worse is that at this time, when you're in this boarding school, you're wearing street clothes. So he could have just literally just went wherever and blended in. It's not like it's, oh, it's the guy in the orange jumpsuit. No, it was like he was wearing regular clothes.
It's the guy in the button-up T-shirt with the slacks and the brown shoes. There's Which seven one? Of them.
There's seven of them there. There's another 14 over there. He looks like a hippie. They're everywhere. Like, he could have just went, but he didn't. He just sucked at it. And he ends up getting caught. So at this point, I mean, he's broken. And anybody at this point could have kind of pulled him inside and, like, been the good influence or whatever the case may be. Just nobody did. Nobody did that.
Nobody would want to, the little midget. I mean...
Somebody should stick up for the little guy.
I mean, somebody did, but it was the guy in prison that taught him how to play guitar. The gang member guy that robbed all the banks and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there was him. I can't remember
his name right now.
No, he was already playing guitar and stuff by then. That guy, he wasn't a good influence either.
Yes, he was not a great influence, but he took care of him because he was so small. He said he felt sorry for him.
No, that was later. I'm talking about just at this point where he was in his early teens and getting fucked and whatever. Like, because at this point, it is a bad story. It is a sad story. And just somebody could have just came up and said, there's brighter days ahead.
There's not.
There's not for him. Because
everyone recognized there are not better days ahead for this little piece of shit.
And yeah, I mean, he was a little twat. He was obnoxious. But everybody has that shitty obnoxious friend. Why?
Do we?
No, we shun them.
Yes, we shun them.
That's the problem.
That's not the problem.
Everybody knows this guy. Like, everybody knows the guy that had a rough childhood, that had the bad mom, that whatever. And it's somebody could have just at this point, because everything could have been different.
No, it's not. It's the guy that goes into school now and just shoots everybody. They don't get this complicated anymore. They get aggressively angry after being antisocial for so long. And then fucking one day it's like, I'm going to go shoot everybody that I hate.
Yeah, and that's what we're building towards in this. Like, that's like, it's everybody is just like holding them down. If anybody just kind of took their time to listen to these kids, maybe we wouldn't have a new school shooting every 2 months.
It's like every 2 weeks.
Pretty much. I'm trying to be
this is positive.
There's no positive in this story.
Oh God, oh, my this God. Kid.
All right, so at this point, this is really him being in this school breaks him. And once he becomes an adult and they can't send him here anymore, it doesn't get better.
No, it doesn't get better. This is the place where he finally broke federal law. Because when he escaped here in 51, this is where I think it was three people, maybe two people that he escaped with,
mm-hmm.
stole the cars and drove it all the way to California.
Yeah, and this is where he, like, bounced a $34 check or some shit.
No, that was the treasury check.
Yeah.
He tried to turn in the treasury check.
Yeah, for like $34.11 or something like that.
Yeah, so he said I stole it out of a mailbox. That's another federal offense, you idiot.
So all this over $30, and even in the 60s that would have been in, it still wasn't a lot of money.
Not at all. It's like $200.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, what could have, if his childhood was different, if somebody came up to him and was just like, it'll be good. Like, if somebody kind of was a positive force in his life instead of a negative force, what do you think at this point, before we get deeper into the story, let's speculate. Like, what could he have done knowing what we know now?
He could have became a preacher.
I guess he had all the training for it.
He had the training for it. And he had the, what do they call it? A testimony. He has a foolproof testimony.
What's that?
A testimony? That's like the Christian's version of, I used to do this bad stuff, and now I'm really awesome.
Okay, gotcha.
Here's my testimony. Listen to what you can do. I can do, I look at what I did, you can do it too, kind of thing. Where they're like, you're a sinner. I used to be a sinner, but you're way worse because you're a sinner now.
Yeah, he could have done anything in that effect. He could have been, let's just say a counselor.
Could have been a counselor. I still like the idea of him being a politician.
Oh, he would have.
He would have been great.
He would have been a great, terrible politician.
No, he would have been fantastic. I mean, if
you think so?
Like, if someone had actually taken the time to make, like, give him a positive influence, and then he could have taken to heart everything he's ever been through in his past, and used that moving forwards to create different things for other children that could be in his situation, he could have legislation put for it. He could do it because he's good at talking to people. He's good at manipulating people.
Yeah, well, that's an argument I have against. I don't think he was good at manipulating people. I think he had access to drugs.
You should see my face right now.
Yeah, I had, like, in my opinion,
that was part of his manipulation thing for his cultists. Yes, but he also manipulated people before they were in his cult because he had to manipulate them to get them in the cult.
No,
the
first literally place. All he did, he didn't manipulate them. He just,
he did with the librarian. He told, she was like a super hideous chick. The very first one that he recruited, the girl, the woman, I don't remember, the librarian chick. There were no drugs involved. He met her one day, told her that she was attractive on the inside, and it didn't matter that he thought she was beautiful. And that's, as long as I think you're beautiful and you think you're beautiful, that's all that matters.
He just wanted to fuck.
And then he fucked her, yes.
He's been in prison
But he used sex as a tool. Just like politicians do now.
Yeah, but it's, I think people just followed him because he had drugs and he had, and like, girls wanted his dick. Like, there was no manipulating.
You think 4'2" Charles Manson had that dick?
He, look how many chicks kept, like, stayed with him. He had that dick.
I don't think he had that dick. I think that the only reason the chicks were there in the first place was because he manipulated them with the drugs, and they wanted them with the drugs, and then the sex part was what he held against the male members.
So before, I guess we'll jump to this. Before he actually had his following, his cult, whatever you want to say, his Manson family, he was living with two girls. One of them was a complete prude, like very uptight.
Librarian.
And then an underage girl.
Those were the ones he was pimping out, wasn't it?
No,
there's a different.
Yeah, he did not pimp these girls out. And all he did was he basically didn't have anywhere to go. He was homeless. This girl wasn't a librarian. She was like a student and a teacher or something like that. And I think she was studying at a nearby university and was also teaching or something like that. So she was like, no sex. He was like, cool, but can I sleep on your couch? And she was like, fine.
Sure.
And then he goes around, he's a little hippie with his guitar and, you know, does drugs with people, hanging out around, like, whatever the campus was. And then he meets this, like, underage, like, Hispanic chick, which Manson fucks a lot of underage girls through this story.
He does.
Several.
And several. A lot of the people that were in the Manson cult were underage girls until...
In the beginning.
They went after they, you know, got caught and stuff. They were obviously of age.
So he brings this, like, underage Hispanic chick back to this teacher's house. And she was like, this is weird, but I guess we'll help out other homeless people. And this, like, this is, like, the first time he... brings multiple people, like, in his circle. So he ends up having sex with this probably 16-year-old chick, or whatever, in the coming full circle, a 20-something-year-old fucks a 15-year-old and has a baby. That sounds familiar. No, it doesn't get her pregnant, but just has sex with her, and then ends up, like, you know, having a little bit of a tryst, a little bit of a relationship with her. And then this chick brings, like, some other dude, like, she pimps herself, brings some other dude around, and Manson's like, no, do whatever you want. And she's like, but I want you to be mad at me, mock me. Manson's like, fine, if you're going to fuck other people, I'm going to fuck other people. So then he does end up having sex with the lady that he's staying with, and they have a whole thing, and then he ends up inevitably sleeping with them both.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So he
can't imagine him as a pimp, though. Like,
He was a, not a good
Pay pimp. My money, bitch.
No, he in admission that he was not a very good pimp. Like he liked, he ended up, he liked the lavish lifestyle. As big of a hippie as like he tries to make himself out to be, like, you know, shed your material, whatever. Like he wanted it. He wanted the Cadillac on 40-inch rims and the chains and the whatever.
Custom-made dune buggies.
Yeah, he wanted them custom-made.
With a custom-made sword holster.
Can you just like imagine a dune buggy coming up on some hydraulics, just like with a stereo
sound system in the back,
just blasting Helter Skelter.
That's bad.
Oh my god,
that would be the weirdest sight I've ever seen. At least now, back then maybe not.
Yeah. So in my opinion, I think he fell face first into most of this. I don't think there was a master scheme. I don't think there was a master plan. He was like, I like fucking people, like fucking me. I'm gonna keep fucking, and he just gave people acid. Gave people drugs, had the hookup for all this, and people just kind of followed him, and he just dicked them down and let other people have sex with his women. And at one point, yeah, he did try to be a pimp, but eventually he just let his girls do whatever. And they could have just left. He had little to no say over what they did. They just kind of, he was dumb and had drugs and a dick.
IQ of 109.
Yeah.
I just love that fact. He's so dumb.
Yeah, he's not
109
smart.
Is so low. He couldn't read. He was illiterate.
Yeah, he couldn't read. He couldn't write. He couldn't do any of it.
He couldn't read until he got put into his first, like, what was it? The minimum security imprisonment camp.
Yeah.
Not like IBS, but after IBS.
Yeah.
He learned to read there with the guy with the guitar.
Yeah. So I mean, he was pretty good. He was pretty quick at like picking up different skills. And in fact, at some point during this story, Hollywood tries to recruit him as like a writer. They try to have him help write Black Jesus, the Second Coming of Christ, but this time he's black. Was
imagine
basically,
that?
Yeah, that failed. Didn't get off the ground. But yeah, I don't think he was a master manipulator. I think I think he was just kind of dumb, and people just he was. Wasn't even kind of charismatic, but not really charismatic. Like he wasn't.
He was awkwardly charismatic.
Yeah, like he did have an allure, which was would brought people.
He had
in,
that mysterious thing,
but he didn't really have anything else. He was like, girls was like, oh, he's kind of cute. Let's get to know him. He's like, do you want drugs? Yeah. You want to fuck? Yeah.
This is what he looked like.
Yeah, and well, yeah, that was him as a child. Nobody else can see this because this is him a
when
podcast.
This is him when he was 21.
Oh. For those of us that can't see this, he looks about 11 and a half.
When he was 21, he seriously looked like he was 11.
So there's
a grown-ass man's haircut.
There's a lot. I guess girls wanted him because they
a baby
also
face?
Want to have sex with underage people. Like that's a running theme here.
All right, so the story of Manson.
I guess we'll get to what I believe. Yeah, I believe he could have been like a good like drug counselor, a good abuse counselor, like because of the fact that he had the background that we just went over. I think given the right path, he could have been a positive force. He could have done social work or something.
He could have had a cool cult or a cult that technically did good. He could be like another Jehovah's Witness creator.
Jehovah's Witness is nothing good.
That's
a whole different episode. Yeah, so even if he does amass the Manson family, if he just did the drug, sex, rock and roll thing that he was doing for 99% of it, because people don't realize that this all went to shit over the course of 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was like two murders, like 48 hours apart, and the cops got him like within a couple weeks. But anyways, if that never happened, and he just had, you know, his commune, and they did nothing but smoke their brains out until it fizzled off, that would have been fine too.
I mean, that would have been great, but the whole point of the commune was to bring Helter Skelter, so he wouldn't have created it in the first place.
Yeah, so that kind of came later. That came around the murders.
Yeah, no. Helter Skelter was created way before the murders. The murders were part of his plan to do Helter Skelter. Cause
see, I don't think the murders were a plan.
No, he did. They were part of this, but that's why they wrote the piggies and the all the other crap.
No,
because he was trying to like the La Biancas. They even stole part of her property and put it into a well-known Black Panther hideout.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that was on the whim. Like when he had the whole hippie commune thing, I don't think there was a real like, all right, I'm going to amass these people.
He wasn't there for the murders at all.
No, he wasn't.
He told them to do that.
Yes, but I think that I don't think the original plan, when he was originally making the what would become the Manson family, I don't believe he had a master plan. I think shit just kept happening.
He just came across everything just accidentally.
Pretty much. I think like he was just his entire life, up until this point, just kind of fucking happened to him. And he just kind of went with shit.
That's crazy to think about. All this crap that was caused by him, how popular he became, just kind of
he bumbled into it.
Happened.
Yeah, that's my theory.
I don't think he intended to get famous off of it.
No.
But I think he fully intended for these murders to happen the way that they happened.
So what I believe happened is because all these people were so fried to fuck on his drugs, and there's the whole MKUltra thing, like trying to like brainwash via LSD, right? So it's what I think happened is he did preach a little bit. Like he kind of put his ideals out there, but a little bit.
The people that were arrested were quoting his. Okay.
Yeah. So I think he just went on high rants, and people just kind of.
That's like, how he preached.
Yeah. So he
did it with LSD. He was using the MKUltra method.
Yeah. So what I think happened is he ended up getting burned, which we'll get into later, because the Tates took over whose house? The Tates took over that drummer's house, right?
No, the drummer, it wasn't the drummer's house. The drummer's house was the one that was beside the LaBiancas. The dude previously was Hendrix or Hendrickson? God, I can't remember his name.
Okay, so there was a reason why they went to the Tate house, which we'll probably get into on the second episode. But I think it was just like, oh, fuck Hollywood and these people that didn't take me. Somebody should do something. And then the girls are like, okay, and just kind of did it. So, I mean, yeah, it's to his influence and it was to his suggestion, but I believe the whole Manson family thing, I believe everything he just kind of bumbled his way into, and it just kind of played out like that. I don't believe he really had a master plan. I don't think he was smart enough to have a master plan.
By this time, he had learned enough to be above 109 IQ. He had learned how to read. He learned how to play guitar. He learned how to manipulate people. He learned how business was supposed to work because he tried to get into show business and acting, yeah, screenwriting. That's why he was at their house originally in the first place, to get the guy to listen to his records, because he didn't show up.
Yeah, so yeah, he was trying to break into Hollywood and all that stuff. So I mean, he wanted to be heard. He wanted to be famous and whatever the case may be. But I believe up until this point, up until right before the murders start happening, I think he just bumbled through everything and everything just kind of happened.
Okay, well, we'll get into the bumbling once we actually get into the investigation, because a lot of stuff is actually revealed in the investigation to the people that were interviewed by Bugliosi.
And there was a lot of bumbling in the investigation on the cops.
Well, yeah, the cops were fucking awful. Like, the original cop that was at the Tate place,
mm-hmm,
put his print over the button that had Texas thumbprint on it that was already in the system.
But why'd you do that?
I wanted to get out.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's so dumb. They were so dumb.
They bumbled a lot.
They fucked up. It was no bumbling. They fucked up.
Well, we'll definitely get into that on the next episode. But up until this point, if we just do a high level run through, he had a childhood where he was oppressed by his grandparents. Mom passed him around to babysitter to babysitter. Got the shit beat out of him at school and by his uncles. Either his uncles kind of influenced the beating up or did his own beating up. He was raped and beat to shit by the school. He was completely broken at this point, and I guess we'll get into his adult life on the next episode and take a look at the actual murders and then the investigation that ensued and how everybody is bumbling through life.
How everybody is just screwing it up and making the best of it.
All right, so this has been MI Productions podcast, Beyond the Looking Glass. If you like what you hear, like, follow, subscribe, all that good shit. On Instagram, you can find us at MI Productions LLC. On Facebook, at Minor Inconvenience Productions LLC. and we're on Apple, we're on Google Play Music. If we are not somewhere that you want us to be, definitely comment, comment, shoot us a message, whatever. Let us know, hey, I like using this podcast service. Why can't I find your shit there?
Yeah, tell me on Facebook.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Or yeah.
I check our messages every single day.
Yeah, so definitely. So was there anything else, any other takeaways, any other points you want to throw on the back end of this?
Oh, I think I got my takeaways and my throw out points just a second ago. I got a little too heated about it.
All right.
So this was Beyond the Looking Glass. Have a good fucking day.
Bye.